All right, Nehemiah chapter 9, starting in verse 5. As I said last week, Nehemiah, the whole chapter of Nehemiah 9 is a summary of God's faithfulness. As we talked about last week, really three words: God is faithful. God is faithful. That was my message last week. God is faithful. Aren't you thankful that even when we're not faithful, He is faithful? Let's pray. Lord, this morning we thank You for Your presence here in this place. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have graced us, honored us with Your presence. You're inhabiting our praise, and we don't stop worshiping You just because the music ceases and the lyrics cease. We now worship You in our attentiveness to Your Word. And I pray, Lord, that You'd help us this morning to learn what You would have us to learn in Your Word. We want to be transformed in Your presence. We want to apply Your Word to our hearts, and we want to walk out of here with some tools and some information that will transform us and some tools that we can apply to our lives. And we want to walk out of here knowing that You're a wonderful God that loves us and that You're with us and that You want us to have a victorious, joyful, and blessed life. I pray, God, that You would bless now our hearts and bless our ears and bless our eyes to receive, to hear, and to see those things that You would have us to invite and welcome into our lives. We love You and we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said last week, Nehemiah chapter 9, the words "you, yourself, and your" appear 89 times in 32 verses. That's a lot of times. It's nearly three times, in fact, per verse. As it relates to God, it's not you, it's you, God. It's talking about God. It was a prayer to God about God. And I want to list some of His attributes. There's a pile of them that were listed in these 32 verses. And you'll see a list on the screen as we add the list. And these are just a few. These are not all, but these are the ones that just kind of start the list. It says you are righteous in there. It lists you are forgiving. It says you are gracious. You are compassionate. You are slow to anger. You are abounding in love. You are merciful. You are just. And you are faithful. I want you to look at that list and just keep it up for there just for a moment, because I want you to look at the attributes of God. Today I want to remind you of who it is you serve. And I want to encourage you this morning with who it is that you serve. We don't serve a God who is mean or scary or indifferent. We don't serve a God who is vengeful. We don't serve a God who hates you. We don't serve a God who is unaware of the details of your life. We serve a loving God who is abounding in love. He's faithful. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's all of those things and more. And in these 32 verses, there's a list. And I'm going to be really glad over the next several weeks to just really go through this prayer to God about God and talk about Him as it relates to our lives. I just want you to look at that list just for another moment and realize that these attributes of God are fixed. These attributes are His very nature. There's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we can't do that will ever change those things about God. They'll never change Him. The Bible says that God, that in God there's no shadow of turning, that He never changes. He's consistent, He's dependable, He's steady. And as we're reminded last week, He's faithful. And what this is this 32 verses is an oral summary prayer that reflects on God's promises and care through all the highs and lows of the people's lives. See, when they were close to God, God was faithful. When they strayed from God, God was still faithful. When they obeyed God, God was what? Yeah. And what about when they rebelled? What was God? See, no matter what, God's faithful. There's nothing that you can do or I can do to ever change His fixed attributes. Isn't that good to know? So dependable. Oh, I hope God's going to be faithful today. Don't ever worry about it. I hope God is going to be loving today. Oh, you don't even have to worry about that. Will God be gracious to me today? You can count on it. Will God be merciful to me today? You bet he will. Is he righteous today? Of course he is. As he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow. Will he forgive me of all your sins? No matter what, you can count on it. Isn't that good to know? So as we look over the next few weeks, I want to look at God's nature. And there's five things in the opening prayer, the opening really paragraph of this prayer that I want us to look at. So stay with me. I want to do something a little different this morning with this that will include you. So I want to read Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. If you're there, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. And the Levite said, stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, and the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. So there's five attributes of God that I want us to look at this morning. The first one is this. First, God is eternal. It says in this prayer that he is from everlasting to everlasting. I'm glad to know this morning that God didn't just show up on the scene yesterday. Isn't that good to know? He didn't just become aware of your struggles or the world's struggles. He's not caught off guard by the troubles that's going on in the world today or in your life. He's not aloof. He's engaging in your life in every detail, in every facet, in every aspect of all that has ever happened, all that is happening, and all that will ever happen in your life and in the world. Aren't you glad? Psalm 90, verses 2 and 4 says this, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. When Moses asked God, God, who should I tell these people that you want me to go rescue from bondage? Who sent me? His response was, tell them the I am that I am sent you. What that's saying is that God is eternal. God has got this thing. He's in control. He's been around forever and will be around forever. God isn't reacting to things that happen, scrambling around trying to figure out what to do. God was aware of them before they ever took place in your life. His control over everything isn't shaky or unstable. He's always been in control of the events of the world, and he has everything firmly in hand. He's eternal. But you might be asking, but what about my wayward loved one? What about my finances? What about my sickness? What about my struggles? What about me? There's an answer to that. Psalm 100 verse 5 says this, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God is faithful. He was faithful to those before us. We've read stories of his faithfulness in his word, and we've heard stories throughout history of how God was faithful. And God hasn't all of a sudden decided to not be faithful in your life. He is faithful and will be faithful to you. He's no respecter of persons. He has no favorites because you and I are all his favorite. I'm his favorite child, and so are you. Folks, he's either God or he's not, right? So, his eternal nature with no respecter of persons is one of goodness and of love and of faithfulness for every generation. So, you must believe in his eternal nature above what you see or above what you feel. God is good, and his love is unconditional. And he is faithful. These are the eternal qualities that you can apply to everything that you're facing. What I'd like us to do in this is, I want us to know as we pretty much pray this prayer, Lord, you're eternally good. I want you to think about this. Listen to it. Lord, you're eternally good, and your eternal love endures forever, and your eternal faithfulness will continue in my loved one's life, in my finances, in my sickness, in my struggles, because you're eternal. You're from everlasting to everlasting. Revelation 1:8 says that I am the Alpha, which means the beginning, and I am the Omega, which means the end. The Lord says this. He is, and he was, and he is to come, the Almighty. He never changes. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Our Father, God, is eternal. And so this is what I want to pray over you this morning as it relates to that. And I want you to bow your heads, and I'm going to pray over you, and all you have to do is simply agree with me. God, we thank you this morning that you're eternal and that you're the everlasting one. Lord, I pray for our wayward loved ones, that you are eternal and you're the everlasting one, and that you're faithful to save our loved ones. I pray for our finances, Lord, that you are eternal and that you're the everlasting one. You're the Alpha and the Omega in our finances, and that you're our provider. I pray for our sickness, that you are eternal and you're the everlasting one. You're our healer. You were a healer back then. You'll be a healer in the future, and you're our healer today. I pray, Lord Jesus, for every struggle in the light of your eternal nature. Lord, we pray and thank you that you are good and that your love endures forever and that your faithfulness continues through all generations, including this generation, be faithful. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen. I hope you've received that and know that God is eternal. I know God was faithful back then. Folks, he's faithful in your life today. He is faithful because he's eternal. Second thing in this prayer that we can look at is that his name is above all. It says, may your name be exalted above all blessing and praise. Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11 says this. God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So here's what I want to say about that this morning, and that's what this prayer is all about. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, say the name Jesus with me. At the name of, you just said the most powerful name. That at that name, leprosy is healed, sickness is healed, heart disease is healed, cancer is healed. Do you hear me? At the name of Jesus, healing takes place. At the name of demons flee. Demons tremble. Demons can't stand. Satan cannot trump the name of Jesus. Say Jesus. At that name, storms in your life are stilled. Do you have a storm in your life today? What's going on? Speak the name of Jesus. Sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes that's all you can think of, right? If you're going through a storm, and when you do go through a storm, not if, say the name of Jesus. Come on, say it. Jesus. Lord, for every storm, we speak your name. Jesus, we thank you that your name is above all names. Your name, Jesus, is above all names. At the name of Jesus, loaves and fishes are multiplied. What are you lacking this morning? At the name of Jesus, all he simply said was, Lord, bless this food, and it was multiplied. What are you lacking this morning? At the name of Jesus, speak the name of Jesus. And loaves and fishes, what does that represent in your life? Whatever that represents, speak the name of Jesus. Now do your part. Be a good steward, but speak the name of Jesus and say, Lord, this is what I have, and this is going to be enough. Because at your name, it's going to be multiplied to meet the need. Amen? Don't look at the lack. Speak the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Folks, it's not by your good works. It's not by your good looks. It's not by anything that you do or any way that you're related. It's only the name of Jesus. Jesus. At the name of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. Only at the name of Jesus. And it's at the name of Jesus, the last three things he said on the cross are in your life. It is finished. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think about this. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said these very words after his resurrection. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And since Christ is in you, you have that authority as well. Satan does not want you to know that, let alone implement that in your life. You see, Jesus' name is above all, and all means all. If you'll use the name of Jesus as your powerful weapon that it implies, because Jesus took care of all of it. When he said it is finished, whatever that looks like in your life, whatever that represents in your life, it's finished in the name of Jesus. He took care of it. He satisfied it. He provided it when he said it is finished. Just apply it. Apply the name of Jesus. Don't depend on anything or anybody else. Because one day, as I said, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want us to do that now. I want to pray over you this morning. Would you bow your heads and agree with me as we continue this message this morning in this prayer? Jesus, we speak your name into. We infuse your name into. We flood your name into these situations that we're facing. Jesus, we speak your name into this world that needs you. We speak, Jesus, your name into this country that needs you. We speak, Jesus, your name into the church that needs you. We speak, Lord Jesus, your name into our family that needs you. And we declare in your name that sickness is cleansed. We declare, Jesus, in your name and command that demons must flee. We command in Jesus' name the storms in our life to be stilled. Jesus, in your name, loaves and fishes are multiplied in the lives of our church. Jesus, in your name, our sins are forgiven. In your name, in spite of what we see, in spite of what we feel, we declare that what you declared on the cross, it is finished in our life. In your name, Jesus, we pray these things, and I pray this over this congregation. Amen. 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 So first, Jesus is eternal. That means he's existed for all time. Secondly, he's above all, which speaks to his authority. There is none higher than Jesus. That's why when you speak to name, the name of Jesus, you've gone to the very top. You can go no higher than the name of Jesus. Third, in this prayer, he alone is God. It says simply, you alone are the Lord in this prayer. King David spoke to this in a time of deep distress, and he prayed this prayer in Psalm 86. He said, bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I'm in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. And say these last four words with me. You alone are God. I want to ask you this morning, how often do we first go to the doctor or to the medicine cabinet or to the self-help book or to the McCounselor for our help first before taking our concerns to the one true God? The fact is that we're surrounded by many volunteers vying to take God's place in our life. They're there lined up. There's a lot of little gods available for us to place our trust in. But everything else is undependable. Everything else is changeable, and everything else is like sinking sand. Only Jesus is God all by himself. He doesn't need any help being God. Oh, that we would put our trust in God and mean it. More than just lip service, but that we would truly place our trust in him. That when we call out to him, that we would understand that he truly hears us and he will answer us. When we call out to him, that we would put our trust in him, that he is God alone in the good times and in the bad times. And he has our best interest at heart. What is it that you placed your faith in more than God today? I don't know. I know that there's a strong temptation on all of our parts to do that. Maybe it's medicine. Maybe it's talent. Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your position. Maybe it's a relationship. I don't know. But whatever you've placed in place of God, that's called idolatry. Switch it out and place God first. Isaiah 45, verses 5 and 6 says, I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Like that part that says here, this, I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me. Think about it. It kind of goes back to the whole thing of, where are we not acknowledging him? What have we placed before him? Let's acknowledge him as number one in every area of our life. I want to pray a prayer over you again as we move through this. And I would ask if you would bow your heads. And I just need you to agree with me this morning. Lord, this morning we repent of anything that we've placed before you. Lord, we acknowledge you as our source. We thank you, Lord, for the medicines, for the talent, for the bank account. We thank you for the career. We thank you for the position, for the relationships in our lives. Lord, but these things are not our source of strength and security. You are our source. You are our peace, our joy, and our hope. You are God alone, and you're worthy of praise and attention. Lord, may you help us by your Spirit to not have any other gods before you. And help us, Lord God, to place our complete trust in you today. Amen. 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 So first, Jesus is eternal. That speaks to his existence. Secondly, he's above all, which speaks to his authority. No other name higher than Christ's. And third, he alone is God. So we place our faith completely in him. And then fourth, in this prayer, it says that he created all things and gives life to them. It says, you made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you give life to everything. I want to read to you Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Catch that last part. In him all things hold together. Listen to this and remember that. Now, I may have mentioned this before years ago, but I think it holds that I need to mention this again, and there's some new people here, so I want you to be aware of this. In the scientific world, there's a protein in our body known as laminin. Laminin is defined in the Webster's Medical Dictionary as a, now this is going to change your life, glycoprotein that is a component of connective tissue basement membrane, and it promotes cell adhesion. In other words, it's the glue that holds our bodies together. Okay? Without laminin, we would fall apart. Everyone say, thank God for laminin. All right. So God has created us perfectly and beautifully. Would you agree? And in him, what did we just read in Colossians? In him all things hold together. Okay. Laminin, all things hold together. In him, he created us. Okay? You getting this? Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this point because I think a picture's worth a thousand words. So I'd like to show you the scientific diagram of what laminin looks like. You see that? What does that look like to you? A cross. You see, the cross holds the world together. That's laminin. And God could have made it any shape he wanted, couldn't he? But he made it in the shape of a cross. You see, Jesus' work on the cross completes the work of salvation, which will culminate in his soon return. So let me just tell you this morning, if you feel like that your world is falling apart, it's not, because in Christ all things hold together. The sign of the cross is holding it together. Folks, here's the beautiful part about it. Even atheists, agnostics, and devil worshipers have in every cell of their body the cross holding them together. Isn't that great? Come on, let's give God praise for that. They can't deny it. And if they did, they'd be a little blob of whatever down on the ground. So I want to pray over you right now. That fact, if you feel like your world is falling apart, when things seem hopeless, that God will remind you that he's holding things together. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, we pray right now for those that are in this place, and really for those outside of this place that we may know, who may appear to be so far gone that it seems hopeless, where it seems like that things are falling apart, maybe in our lives or other people's lives. We thank you, Lord, for the cross that holds us together. Lord, we pray for situations right now that seem hopeless and that they're falling apart. What is seemingly hopeless in our life, Lord God, we know that it's the work of the cross that's holding it together. We thank you, Lord, that they cannot escape it. Those that are the prodigal sons and daughters, those that are struggling in lifestyle choices, those that are doing whatever they're doing and denying you, rejecting you, and rebelling against you, they can't escape you because it's in their DNA. Every cell of their body is being held together by the cross. We declare the cross to become prominent and dominant in their lives. And in the situations that we're facing today, Lord, may the cross speak to us that it's not falling apart. It's not hopeless. We speak the resurrection life of Christ into what seems dead, because God, you're the God of life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the cross that holds us all together. In you, Jesus, all things are held together. Amen and amen. Come on, let's thank him for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for laminin. So Jesus is eternal, which means that he's existed for all time. He's above all, which speaks to his authority. He alone is God, which means that we place our faith completely and totally and only in him. And then he's our creator and life giver. He holds all things together. He's becoming fairly like someone that we can't live without, right? You getting that? I don't see how people live without him. I just don't see how. And fifth and finally, in this opening paragraph, it says, he alone is worthy of worship. It says here, the multitudes of heaven worship you. I want to read to you Psalm 148. It's 14 quick verses. Follow along with me. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the highest heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. I'll say that again. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he raised up for the people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel. The people close to his heart, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Let's join all creation in praising the Lord. He alone is worthy to be praised. Let's praise the Lord. He alone is worthy to be praised. Let's bless his name. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He alone is worthy to be praised. You know, the first 10 verses talk about angels praising God, the heavenly host praising God, the sun, the moon, the stars, the water, the sea creatures, lightning, hail, snow, clouds, winds, mountains, hills, fruit trees, cedar, wild animals, cattle, wild animals again, flying birds, and praising God. There's a lot of creation out there doing that. You see, these creations, whether they're animals or mountains or stars or hail, weather, all of those things are actively praising God. When you see a cloud out there, when you see the sun out there, when you see the birds, hear the birds chirping, when the trees are starting to bloom out there, and all of creation, when the lion roars, when the rain falls, when the thunder, when the waves on the ocean, tides, all of those things, folks, all of that is praising God. And God ordained it. If you remember, he says, he issued a decree that will never pass away. That's what he's talking about. He created those things to praise him in the way that they were created. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but all of those things are actively praising God day and night as a decree he issued for all of eternity. They can't stop. Waves will not stop being a wave. Trees will not stop blooming. Birds will not stop chirping. Clouds will not stop forming because God ordained and orchestrated those to praise him. That's the way they praise him. Then it moves to verses 11 and 12. The kings of the earth and all nations, the princes and all rulers on the earth, the young men and women and old men and children praise the Lord. See, this is including everything and everyone in the universe has been created to worship him. Nothing in all creation is left out. All are commanded to praise the Lord. All do praise the Lord, except the only one that has the choice is you, me. Birds don't have a choice. Birds are going to chirp and they're praising the Lord. We can choose to praise the Lord or not. We can sit there with our arms folded, or we can go through our day and through our week and not acknowledge him. You know, we can close it down. We can pray. And here's the thing. We do praise things. We do worship things. You know, you got American Idol. That's and even in its title, praising, you know. The next singer who wins, who you never hear anything about, once they win, you know. What's up with that? We praise sports figures. We praise and worship political figures. We praise and worship our things. You know, we put our stuff to that. We choose to praise. How can everything and everyone praise God, though? I'm just going to real quick, I'm going to go back into the scientific realm. I know some of us really like the scientific stuff. Some of us maybe don't, but just stay with me here. Here comes some other scientific things. So everyone get out your beakers. All molecules put off electromagnetic waves. Did you know that? All molecules put off electromagnetic waves. I'll say that again. All molecules put off electromagnetic waves, in theory. Now, the electromagnetic spectrum that humans hear, sound waves, is between 20 hertz and 20 kilohertz. That's our range. But God has no limitations in his hearing. We're limited in what we can hear, but God can hear anything. All right? All molecules put off electromagnetic waves. In other words, they put out sound. Even though if you can't hear it, and even though I can't hear it. What God hears is all of the electromagnetic spectrum. From wherever zero is, whatever that is, all the way to however far it goes, he hears it all. And I believe God knows that every molecule and every part of his creation, and I believe that they all sing to him. I think God hears all of his creation singing to him. What do you think? Scientists have discovered that there are stars in the galaxy that emit pulses so many times a second. So, let's create an orchestra here, and let's call that the percussion section, shall we? Boom, ba-boom, boom, ba-boom. Then let's add the sound of whales in the ocean as they create a musical fill. Ooh, ooh. Then there's the thunder of the rainstorm that provides the crashing cymbals. Psh. Kind of wimpy, huh? Then the elephants are the trumpet section. And the birds are the flute section. And all of creation adds their part in the orchestra. And finally, he adds our voices. And he puts all of these sounds together, and what he hears is a beautiful symphony of praise to his glorious name. Isn't that beautiful? All of creation. And we're the only ones that have the choice. Because we're the only ones to whom he's given a will. Our praise is a choice, folks. We can choose to join the orchestra today or not. The orchestra's out there. It's going at it. He's just looking for the voices, you and me, the choir. We just sang that song earlier this morning, "You are holy, Lord of all. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That's what the angels are singing around the throne. We must join in that. It's our choice to do that or not. I encourage you to join in that heavenly chorus as an act of your will. And in fact, do it not because of, but a lot of times in spite of our circumstances, right? I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. And this really kind of goes back to really the words that we choose. We can bless or curse. We can speak the problem or speak the promises of God. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So are you speaking out curses or blessings? Are you speaking out faith or doubt? Are you declaring the word of the Lord over your situations, or are you condemning them with your negative words? Let's be careful that we bless the Lord and that we bless our circumstances and bless our situations with the blessings of the Lord and the promises of the Lord that are eternal and unchangeable because God is faithful. Our praise becomes a substance that God can work in. And what that does is it's our faith that activates the heavenlies on our behalf. Our worship moves the hand of God to intervene for us.